Time is like an accordion. When you stretch it way out, it has a mournful and nostalgic sound. The events of your past can similarly seem tragically far away. Then, when you cram it together, the sound of an accordion is loud and bold and present. All the events of your life are sometimes crammed together like a group of elementary kids in line, stepping on the heels of one another's shoes and giving one another lice. It was 10 years ago that Lullabies for Little Criminals was published. It seems hard to believe that a decade has passed, and simultaneously it seems like a lifetime ago. I feel a lot of affection for the book now that it is so firmly a part of my past. Its flaws take on the glow of nostalgia and sort of break my heart. It's like a goofy old class photo. All the crooked bangs, the buck teeth, the butterfly collars, the burgundy corduroy seem endearing because they remind you of being younger. I was 32 when the book came out. I didn't expect it to be a success. Oh, I had had my share of achievements before. I carried around a giant book of nursery rhymes that I had inherited from a great-grandmother when I was 5. I would memorize them and recite them to my dad when he was feeding the birds and had on his sheepskin hat and army jacket. He told me I was a genius. I had quite a few comments of praise on the side of my essays from my teachers in school. I had a Tupperware container filled with fitness awards. I had a wooden plaque from high school for achieving the highest grade in English. I graduated from McGill at 20. After graduating from McGill, things got a little bumpy because I took on the project of writing a novel. I spent years on it. I wrote it when I wasn't washing cloth diapers, chasing raccoons off the balcony, frying up scrambled eggs, cutting photographs of canneries out of magazines and sticking them on the refrigerator under magnets of cherries and pina coladas. The only thing that you can do when you are developing a style and aesthetic, figuring out your themes, and determining what matters to you, is to really listen to your inner voice. Whether that voice will resonate with anybody else is a gamble. I chose to describe so much strange stuff from the margins and down-and-out world I grew up in that I worried it might alienate readers. I knew that I was taking a lot of people into places they had never been before, places where they would be uncomfortable. Streets they would never walk down. I gave them keys to stick into keyholes of doors that they would never have previously dreamed of opening. I made readers listen to people they would never give the time of day to. I had them squish into cozy tiny beds and tiny apartments with flowers on the wallpaper when they might rather just stay home. That people responded to Baby was one of the most magical things that has ever happened to me. The book immediately began to have a life of its own. It found itself readers and connected with them. In fact, I found it overwhelming. I stopped answering the telephone and I stopped answering email. People found me anyway. Someone behind me in line at the grocery store holding a ham and a plastic bag of oranges told me that she really liked my book. A blonde girl came up to me on St. Catherine Street while I was standing under the lights of a marquee sign and said I was her favorite writer. There was an older man at the library who came up to me and started to say how much he liked Lullabies for Little Criminals, but the librarian came and hushed him. There was a waitress at a cafe who brought her book with the bill and asked me to sign it. There was a man eating a sandwich on his balcony with only his briefs on who yelled down that he liked my book. There was a man with a black pompadour and sunglasses carrying a big paper bag of bagels. He pulled one out and offered it to me, poppy seeds falling everywhere, and said he owed it to me because my book was so good. A large man at a cafe with a light green suit and his Pomeranian sitting next to him gave me a thumbs up. A girl with a vintage black jacket with a fur collar and her nose all pink at a bus stop whispered something about the book that I couldn't make out. At the clinic, a doctor with large glasses who talks to everyone as if they are 6 years old and worried about getting a shot said he found it remarkable. A girl came up to me in the metro, held my hand, and said, "I would not be alive today if it weren't for your book." People insist on seeing me as Baby. They want to find her all grown up and living in Montreal and doing totally fine. To find Baby in the real world is impossible. So I suppose that the closest approximation is myself, standing in the backyard in my rubber boots and frayed dressing gown, hanging up clothes on the clothesline, my two dogs madly yapping away. Or sitting at the bus stop, eating an apple, and reading a paperback novel. For me, it's a novel made out of tiny things, like a bird that scavenges baubles and twigs to build a nest. I remember being fascinated by Joseph Cornell's glass boxes at the time I was writing the book. I liked how the tiny dioramas were filled with magazine cutouts of birds and buttons and matchboxes. So anything in my novel can be in one of those boxes, from the cabinet in the bathroom to the fridge in the kitchen. Everything in the novel is touched by grace and importance and beauty because it is described by a child who is innocent.